Welcome to the High School Playbook. We're on first here with Monterey head football coach Scott Hughes, ranked number 10 in the Associated Press's top 10 in 1A football, 3-0 on the year, 2-0 on the season, and a big non-region matchup against Jackson County this Friday night in Gainesboro. Coach, how's it going?
Doing well. We're excited about this week, and weather's nice, and we're still getting to play and hadn't been shut down again, so that we're really excited right now.
Coach, before we start talking about the games or anything, it's just part of your story this year that you missed the first two games because of a COVID case on your team. Where do you sit right now? Are you guys at full strength health-wise, on the injury front and just with everything going on in this world?
Yeah, we're good. We got shut down. It was not an outbreak or anything like that. It was a very small single incident. Wasn't at school, wasn't at football, anything like that. And, it was early, and people were still trying to figure out how do you handle it. And, the crazy thing is the guidance has changed since then, and it is part of it. And we're looking to add, possibly a game back over fall break.
Coach, I want to take my hat off to you to try to find a way to get that game back, because to the casual fan out there, they might say, why even try to make it up? But, man, as a young person, as a young high school kid, if you start playing football when you're a freshman and you play till you're a senior, you're only guaranteed 40 games in your entire life. To have any of those taken away is just a huge blow. And it might, again, might not seem like a big deal to someone that it doesn't matter as much to, but that it is a huge deal to try to get to play as many games as you can in your high school career. And that's good of you and your staff and your school to try to make that work for those kids.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We put it to a vote with our team, and it was a unanimous decision that they wanted to play. And I wanted to try to give our football program the opportunity to highlight our kids another time, and I thought that we owed it to our seniors to try to get them one more football game. And we're in discussion, and hopefully it works out where we'll be at home for that game. So that's one more opportunity for those seniors to get to play in our stadium and get to dress in their locker room. And they, one of the two games that we had missed was a home game. So that was one of my big things, was just trying to make sure that we got those guys another opportunity to play in their stadium. And you brought up a great point. If you play for 4 years, the guarantee is only 40 games. And, I'm a huge basketball fan, huge baseball fan. And, those sports, though, a lot of years they play 30 or 35 games in 1 year. So there's just a huge, more sample size there. And I think that's one thing in talking to my players and over the years of having guys that played multi-sports, there's something about the pageantry of the Friday night.
This being a non-region game here against Jackson County, not as important as all of the games on your schedule that have the R beside them that say region, but it's still a big game in the sense of in the grand scheme of Upper Cumberland. Jackson County's 4-1. They've not had a record like that in a long, long time. Monterey's 3-0, hadn't lost a regular season game in over 1.5, going on 2 years, Coach. So, again, not a region game, but a big matchup.
It all games are big to us, and we, definitely circle 5 region games a whole lot more than we do a non-region game. And, I had a question yesterday by another radio station, said, you're on the road this week, you're on the road next week. Is one way more important than the other one? How do you approach it? All that stuff. And I said, if you could guarantee me that we're going to win the region game on the road next week, yeah, I'll trade you this week. I mean, that's a no-brainer. With it being a region game, or non-region game, we're just trying to work to make our football team better for the region game. And, next week is way more important to us than this week is. And it's still important, though. Anytime you go compete, you want to win. And I think anybody that knows me knows that I want to win no matter what it is. I don't handle losing very well. And our program has kind of adopted that philosophy. And great to see over the course of time our young men I hate losing more than they like winning. And that's one of our phrases that we use is you got to hate losing more than you like winning, because that's going to add fuel to the fire to not want to lose. But in the same regard, you know, it's going to be a good night. I think the weather's supposed to be really good. It's going to be a great test for our football program to see where we're at. You know, they're a 2A program. Coach Loftus, great friend of mine. He does a phenomenal job, probably one of the best coaches around. And, you know, we got to go down there, which adds a little bit more to it.
Coach Hughes of the undefeated 3-0 Monterey Wildcats, thank you for jumping on with us today. And we'll see you. Hopefully, I'll get to see you Friday night there for a little while at the game.
Well, we hope so. Hope everything works out well, and we're excited about it.
And we're back with more of the high school playbook with White County Warriors head coach Mark Frazier. Coach, your Warriors hit 1-3 on the season. And something we talked about a little bit last year that I know is definitely hanging around your program is the raised expectation of your program. And what I mean by that is before you got there, they rolled the team out there, I guess some people were just happy with it. Now that that has changed and people will grumble when you don't win, which is exactly what you want with a football program. You want people to be thrilled when you win and disappointed when you lose. How are you dealing with that expectation in your program, and how do you think your kids deal with it, or do they even understand what's going on?
You know, they definitely understand what's going on. I think that, like you said, I think that's a good thing that people are upset. You know, if the season isn't going the way you'd like, we just, you know, had this conversation with the team. This is not where we envisioned being, but we can't change the past. We're going to, you know, reboot halfway through the season. I know we missed the game there, first game of quarantine, but halfway through the season, restart, you know, no excuses. You know, there's several factors that have played into some of these games. Some, you know, some kids quarantined here and there, losing starters, and, you know, but I said we can't, you know, make excuses because we can't control that.
You sit there and you have a game that you were really disappointed in the other night. I remember a couple times in my high school career, we had some of those just ugly games. And I knew that coming Monday, I had enough self-awareness that Monday practice was not going to be very fun. I'm just wondering how your practice went yesterday and if you were able to flush some of that out and get ready for York Institute this Friday night.
Well, and that's what we talked about. We really did. We had a sit-down meeting. It's the first time we've had one since the beginning of the season, and we talked about everything that's gone on. We talked about mistakes made by the players, mental mistakes made by the players. We talked about mistakes made by coaches, me, you know, included. We talked about how we've got to restart. That was an embarrassing performance Friday night, and to be fair, there were several factors included. We were missing several starters, you know, they missed. But the fact of the matter is we didn't come out ready to play, and I just thought we were flat. I would have been okay with the loss with some new guys out there if it was full-fledged effort and, hey, listen, we're just a little shorthanded and things don't go your way. That I can live with that. I can sleep with myself at night for that, but I can't sleep with myself with lack of effort.
You have the York Institute Dragons coming to town. Make no bones about it, their offense has really struggled this season. They've only scored 6 points on the year, but their defense, outside of one game, has really kept them in every game. So first, I know they're running a little bit of wide split back beer kind of things on offense. So talk about, you know, just preparing for an option offense kind of here in the middle of the season that you're not going to see every week.
Definitely a challenge because it is unique. You don't see it a lot. And they've not scored points, but you watch the film, and I can't really place my finger on why not. They've moved the ball at times. They've looked very efficient. They did lose a starting quarterback early, so that's a big impact on trying to run any kind of offense. They do well 20-20, and then it's just not scoring. So, you know, the fact they haven't scored that many makes you feel like you should be able to handle their offense. But watching it, you know, it's not quite the same feeling I get. So we're going to have to be prepared and know our assignments. It's definitely assignment football there. And then on defense, they run to the football. It's tough to play defense when offensively you're not getting a lot of points put up. I mean, they've done a great job on defense. I mean, it's spectacular with all things considered. So this isn't a game that you roll the ball out and you think, hey, we're going to go out there and win. I think it, I mean, last year it came down to the final play that we won the game. So we're expecting a dogfight, and we're going to come out and we're going to play with a lot of effort and intensity Friday night.
Coach, before we let you go here, where do you stand? Not so much, I'm asking that you're health-wise. You can say on the injury front, but are you going to be, you know, as full-fledged as you can with having everybody that you need back from missing time from COVID?
No, we're still going to be in the same boat we were last Friday. Most of the guys that missed Friday are going to miss this Friday as well. So we're down probably four or five starters.
1-3 on the year and have a big game against York Institute this Friday night in Sparta. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it, Justin. We'll talk later.
The high school playbook continues with York Institute head coach Kerry Johnson. Coach Johnson, thanks for joining us, and how's it going today?
Pretty good. Getting ready to go out and try to start getting ready for White County.
Let's talk about your defense before we talk about anything else here. They're averaging only giving up 13.25 points a game. If you take the GCA game out of it, they're averaging about 6 a game. Your defense is really giving you a chance to win every ball game or be in every ball game this season.
Yes, not only that, they did not give up the 7 points in the Smith County game. That was a interception return for a touchdown. So they gave up no points against Smith County. And yes, that's why I said our defense has played really well this year, and it's across the board. Our secondary had been very suspect the last couple of years, and we've got that corrected pretty well, and if we can just get our offense going, I think we can do some damage.
Because you talked about your secondary being suspect again, your starting quarterback of your offense and at safety, at defense goes down, and you're having to plug in freshmen there. Why has the defense just been able to play so good this season? I mean, they're putting up, like you said, no points against Smith County, only 8 against Jackson County, and then only 3 against Grundy County there. That defense is, like we said, giving you a chance to win, but just why are they able to play at such a high level?
They, at the end of last year, we count this 50 defense in that we run, and it worked pretty well for us, and the guys got a grasp of it pretty quickly, but we still didn't – our secondary was still giving up a lot of big plays. And that's basically – we just kind of went down and looked at what we did, kind of watched film from last year to see what we were doing wrong and corrected that and got guys to really understand what their assignments are a little bit better this year. And I think that's true. That's what's paid off. And like I said, we lost our starting quarterback, and he's also our starting safety in the GCA game. But we found another safety who stepped in and did a really good job in Tate Stover, who took over for Dalton Barger and who got hurt. And the only thing he did, he may have been able to play a little bit too far off the ball a couple times to give up a couple quick passes there, but we, you know, no big plays and come up and hit some people, and you can't ask much more.
Again, on here with Coach Kerry Johnson of the York Dragons, sitting at 1-3 on the season, Coach. Tough time to get a head coaching job and try to change the offense a little bit. No spring practice, really strange off season and installing the offense, and the offense seems to be a little behind of where your defense is right now. Are you starting to see some progress? And again, losing Dalton Barger there, you're back and having to play a freshman. That's a tough, just a tough set of circumstances there at York on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, losing Dalton, it hurt us big. The offense was kind of made for him in a sense, and so it was a change. And we've changed up a little bit of stuff. We went to a little bit of spread against Smith County, and it worked a little bit. I think it kind of made them adjust, and it kind of shocked them a little bit, I guess, from what we were doing. But we have – the thing is, you look at our stats, not that we've lit the world on fire, but we've outgained our opponents, except for GCA. We've had more first downs than our opponents, and we just can't – we had a touchdown and had a guy in open field for a touchdown, and he cramped up on the play and went down, or we'd have scored. I mean, it's just been one thing after another this year on little things like that, and I've got to have a little luck on our side at some point, maybe.
Coach Johnson, you sit there with White County this Friday night down there in Sparta. They've got a really electric player at quarterback there, Malachi Dow. He's a sophomore. I know your defense is really going to be a challenge this week, and you could be sound. You can have him pinned in he can just use his speed and outrun people to the edge.
Yeah, we're going to have to – he's probably going to be obviously – I'm going to say he's probably the best dual threat we'll face all year. And we've tackled well in space this year, and we obviously have to do that again this week against those guys because he's a special player, and got to get him down when we get the chance. And don't, and like I said, we gotta when we get the chance, don't let him escape. And hopefully we can make him if we just contain him and make him drive the length of the field. Hopefully they'll make a mistake at some point.
Well, Coach Johnson, thank you for jumping on with us today. Good luck this Friday night in Sparta against the Warriors.
I appreciate it. Look forward to hearing from you next week.
The high school playbook continues here with DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp. The DeKalb County Tigers sit 2-3 on the year, 1-0 in region play. Coach, how's it going? And thanks for jumping on with us today.
It's going pretty good. Thanks for having me.
On the road again this week against Cannon County. They run an option offense. I guess it's a wing tee. They line up in the shotgun a little bit. How difficult is it to really prepare for some of this kind of offense here mid-season when you don't see it every week?
Yeah, definitely, and especially the style of offense that we have. So it does make it a little more difficult. Pretty much teaching our scout team guys, something that's completely different than what we teach them in the running hour stuff, a little different. If you're playing another spread team or somebody that likes to throw it or does a lot of the things that you do, makes it a little easier. So when you see stuff that's different from what you do in your own program, it makes that scout team a whole lot more important.
And you talked about something there that the average football fan or maybe even a parent might not understand when you're going through practice in the middle of the week. And like you said, if you're playing Livingston or Stone Memorial, they're going to line up in the shotgun and they're going to run zone read and some, one-back power stuff. Yeah. But now you're teaching these kids who give you that look, you're teaching them something that might as well look like Mandarin Chinese to them. There's no way they can replicate that speed that you're going to get regardless of who you're playing that Friday night.
Yeah, it's different, what we tell our young guys all the time, that's the process of, developing into a Friday night player is, making your hay on scout team and just understanding football and the different nuances they are when you're going through, a different scout team look offensively, defensively, special teams, whatever it may be. So it's big time important, for those young guys. They don't always buy into it and understand it, but that's a part of the development and the process that it takes.
Coach, your base defense there is, some version of a three-down lineman. How much is your defense going to change when you have to play this option football this Friday night against Cannon County?
Not too much. We're a 3-3 stack, basically. We can take one of those stack backers and walk them down, turn it into a four-man front. We can walk two up and down and turn it into a five-man front, it can turn into basically anything that we want it to turn into. Our biggest thing is just making sure that we put our guys in an opportunity to be successful. I think one thing that helps a little bit is some of the stuff that Grundy County was doing is somewhat similar to what Cannon County does, especially formation-wise. There's a few different plays and different ways they go about it.
Again, on here with DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp, they take on Cannon County this week on the road. Cannon County sits 0-5 and 0-2 in their region. Coach, they've really had a hard time, scoring the ball and keeping people up out of the end zone. But offensively, they played Upperman last Friday night, and I was at some of that game, and Upperman really ran the ball outside on them quite a bit. Are you looking to, try to get your run game going and not, say, give your pass game the night off, but, try to establish a run early in this game?
Last week versus Grundy, we only threw the ball 8 times. I don't know. There's been a lot of games played here in the last decade. I don't know if we've threw it that least amount of times, but we completed 6 out of 8, and 3 of those 6 were touchdowns. And, really we go into every game and every week and just, what is the best opportunity for our guys to have success? Is it throwing the ball? If that's what we feel, then we may lean on that more. If it's running the ball, we'll lean on that more. For the year, we're at 5.7 yards per carry on the ground, and we've hit some big plays through the air. I feel whatever it is that we feel like we need to do to be successful, I just want it to be consistent. And really one sets up the other. There's been years where our pass game definitely sets up our run, and then there's been years where our run game sets up the pass.
Coach, a win against Friday night against Cannon County would get you guys to 500 on the season with a huge matchup at home against Livingston Academy the following Friday night. First off, we got to get past Cannon County, and just what a victory to get to 500 on the year, 3-3, as you enter the back stretch of your season with three out of your four games being region games.
Yeah, well, you know, the old coaching cliche, you know, we're not going to look too far ahead. We'll take it one game at a time, you know, so we just want to come out and play the best football that we can play this week.
Well, Coach Trapp, thank you for joining this week. I appreciate you guys, and best of luck there on the road. And
hey, I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
The high school playbook continues with Cumberland County head football coach Noah Rapaski. Coach Rapp, how's it going? Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. It's going well, man. How are you?
We're doing great. Coach Rapp, as we look at your season here, your team is getting better. I talked to a lot of coaches around our area, and they're like, I mean, for what it's worth, I know it hadn't equated to a win yet, but they're like, man, that Cumberland County team's so different than what it's been. I want to go back to when you got the job, and you only got a small offseason, probably the worst time in the history of football to get a head coaching job and install what you want to do. But when you got in there and introduced yourself to your guys and started your offseason program, what did that look like, and how did you kind of come in there and just shock their system and shake some things up?
Yeah, well, you know, it definitely has been, you know, difficult. It's a tough year to be a first-time, you know, head coach and a brand-new staff. And the history of this, you know, program of, you know, Cumberland County, you know, program for the past 15 or 20 years, it's kind of, for lack of a better word, just eating up coaches and kind of, you know, spit them out, you know. So it's been tough. I'm the senior third, you know, head coach that they've had in 4 years. So there's a trust thing. So that was kind of the first thing I tried to, you know, address in January, at the end of January when I started, just getting to know the kids, trying to make them, you know, comfortable, trying to build a relationship. You know, we only got a few weeks there, then the COVID hit, so we weren't able to lift as a group and, you know, things like that. And then, of course, we didn't start till late in the We didn't start till the end of May, back some kind of, you know, football, you know, lifting and operations, and didn't get to start hitting until later into the summer, you know. So it's just been, you know, difficult. I've just tried to build the you know, relationships. I try to get as much scheme stuff in, as we could do, you know, as the kids can hold, you know, and we're still doing, I don't know, you know, Justin, it's just been tough. If we had a full spring, a regular, you know, summer and a fall camp, I believe we would probably have started the season about where we are right now. So, you know, it is, you know, what it is. We've got a lot to do. We're trying to get better. I think the kids' attitudes have been good. So, you know, we're doing what you know, we can do, buddy.
What are some of the bright spots you've had? It could be older players, younger players, that you feel good about going into this last half of the season.
Well, good. We have a lot of young guys playing. We are starting two freshmen and playing, you know, three or four every, you know, Friday night. And we have a handful of, you know, sophomores, four or five, you know, sophomores that are playing and either starting or, you know, contributing. So my young guys have been a plus. The team, overall, their attitude has been, you know, pretty good. We've had to fight it just a little in parts of games, maybe the second half of the White County game. But other than that, man, their attitude has been good. You know, their effort has been good. We're a pretty good, you know, practice group. We're learning how to practice, and so we're trying to take that and take our practice effort and our practice in a routine. We're trying to move that over to the field on, you know, Friday night. So we've had some good effort. We've had some good, you know, young guys playing. We're just all trying to learn, man.
Coach Rapp, you talked about something right there that, again, to a casual football fan may go unnoticed, or they may not understand it, but you talked about learning how to practice. There's a right and wrong way to practice, and if you don't practice hard, the result on Friday night is not going to be very good. How hard is it for you? Was that a big challenge for you to show the guys your way of practicing?
Yes, sir. You know, the way I like to practice, the way I would like to practice is, you know, the good teams play fast, and, you know, To play fast, you have to practice fast. You know, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice does. And it took us a good 5 or 6 weeks to be able to get through a full hour, you know, 45-minute or two-hour practice, to get the whole team through it, to get it to where it looked you know, something like I want it to be, you know, till we actually got, you know, some good out of the whole, you know, 2 hours. So it took a while, and we built on it. And now, you know, we've gotten to where we keep our focus. We practice, you know, it's pretty upbeat, you know, practice. We try to, you know, practice hard. Like, everybody has their role. The, you know, scout team has a role, the offensive line, the defensive line, you know, the manager. So it's kind of it's starting, you know, come together just a little bit. And we've had 3 or 4 decent weeks of practice here, like in a row. We just have to execute whenever it counts on, you know, Friday night. So now that's what we're trying to take the drill to the field now, buddy.
Yeah, and Coach Rapp of the Cumberland County Jets. Hey, Coach there. Coach, thanks for jumping on with us this week. We really appreciate you and look forward to seeing how your team does there Friday night in Crossville against Walker Valley.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Justin.
Well, welcome to the High School Playbook. On here with Stowe Memorial Head Coach Derek Samber. Coach Samber, how's it going today? And thank you for joining us.
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Justin.
Your team sits 1-4 and 0-2 in the region, with still a lot to play for. Playoffs on the line in your region, and again, a young team. You've been hit by COVID yourself, with missing kids. Not necessarily that they've had it, but because of contact tracing. I know that's frustrating.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity, Justin. We're glad our kids are getting to play, but certainly there's frustration, and certainly our kids and coaches are tired of losing. There's no doubt about that. There's no tiptoeing around that. We want to play, and it's a game that we love, but at the same time, you play to win. So we're ready to turn things around.
Coach Samber, you played a Livingston Academy team there in Livingston Friday night. Played them really tough, 28-6. That Livingston Academy team lost a ton last year, but defensively, they've played really good ball this season. And they're tough to run the ball and move the ball on.
Well, they're good, and they're well coached, Justin. You know, Coach Lamb and his guys always have them ready. And I kind of thought they'd lost a lot as well, and that's not to take anything away from their group of kids last year. But they've got 22 seniors back this year, and they're dang good again this year. And you're right, they're good defensively, but we did have some success moving the ball and just did capitalize and made some mistakes ourselves. We got inside the 5 at one point. And didn't capitalize there. We actually had a couple mishandled snaps or bad snaps or plenty of blame to go around there.
Talking about moving the ball and making big plays, and you're doing it with kids that you probably weren't counting on having to do it with because of contact tracing. So I know, again, you play to win the game, but there, as much as we say there's not moral victories, there are some things that you can leave a game, a loss, being proud of.
Yeah, it's tough, Justin, and I know at a couple different instances. For one, we had a senior running back out. Nick Coble, our starting running back, was out. We replaced him with a freshman. And Houston Woody did a fine job for us, was really pleased and impressed with him. And it's always encouraging to see young kids out there and making plays and playing well. But at the same time, there's a significant disadvantage for every 14-year-old you put on the field taking on 18, 19-year-olds.
Where are you guys sitting? Are you going to get most of your guys back this Friday night against Houston?
Well, we've got some injured guys, not virus-related, but we did get our quarterback back from a contact tracing deal, Bryant Carter, and he had a really good game, completed some balls, ran the ball well, ran offense pretty well, ran really, really hard. I think he's a guy that teams get tired of tackling at times, but it was good to have him back, and, you know, for the most part, we're...
You host a 4-0 keeping team. They've scored at least 32 in every ball game. What have you seen out of them so far this week on film?
They're good, Justin. They, like you said, they're undefeated, and undefeated for a reason. They've got a ton of different playmakers. My goodness, they got a bunch of kids for a 3A team. They've got several guys that carry the ball for them. The quarterback's a tremendous athlete, throws the ball well. Defensively, they've not given up a lot of points. They really swarmed to the football. I know Coach Pankey, really good defensive mind, really good football coach, and he's tough to move the ball on. So they're a good football team, and, you know, you mentioned with our schedule, Justin, I saw something. We've got the most difficult schedule in 4A football. Our opponent's winning percentage is 75. So not a lot of losses on that schedule, and Kingston doesn't bring any losses to the table, so that win percentage will only go up.
Well, Coach Samber, thank you for joining us today, and best of luck there Friday night against Kingston there in Crossville.
Justin, appreciate you, man, and as always, go Panthers.
The High School Playbook continues with Upperman Head Football Coach Adam Kane. Your Upperman Beast at 3-2 on the season, 2-0 in the region, and host a undefeated Oneida football team there in Baxter this Friday night. So, Coach, how's it going, and what do you expect out of those Oneida Indians on Friday in Baxter?
Yeah, it's going good. You know, we're coming off a win, so, you know, obviously things look a little brighter and you know, food tastes a little better and everybody looks a little prettier and all that kind of stuff. But we had a different kind of energy about us last Friday night. You know, I think it's and we were able to capitalize on that and you know, it felt a little bit more like the years past than the same struggles that we've had this year. So I'm hoping that we may have turned a corner. You know, we're at that point in the season where guys are getting comfortable in their roles and we made some personnel changes that I think helped us and gave us a little shot in the arm, and that's what we were looking for. And, you know, some of our playmakers stepped up and made some plays. And so I feel positive. I feel about as good as I have all year. That maybe, this group is, you know, at least trying to forge ahead and become the team that they can be. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact of the matter that Oneida, I mean, they're a good team, undefeated. They're big and strong. You know, on their line, they look a lot like Livingston, who gave us some problems. And so they got a good running back who hurt us some last year. And so we're well aware of what they're capable of. And they're going to come in here with a lot of confidence. And so hopefully we can, play good defense and figure out ways to, get our guys the ball on the perimeter. And hopefully we can score some points like we did last week.
Coach, you're talking about the guys getting the ball on the perimeter. In my opinion, for what it's worth, I know what they say about opinions. Everyone has them, and they're not always great. I'll just leave it at that. But Dutchess, Deadman, and McClellan in the backfield, that's a three-headed monster there that that the Upperman Bees can really make a lot of headway later on in this season, kind of riding those three.
Absolutely. You know, we've kind of settled on offensively being a team that, changes personnel groups and tries to, make you adjust to what we're doing. And each group we run onto the field, kind of runs a different batch of plays. And so, and each one also features, a different guy. Being the primary runner. So I think so. I think as we move deeper and against some of these quality opponents, we're going to have to figure out even more ways to be creative with it. I think those are our guys. I think Jaron has shown the last 2 weeks that, he's got a desire to get in the end zone, and Ty, of course, does, and Terrence is, growing up before our eyes.
Well, Coach Kane of Upperman B, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing that matchup there against the undefeated Oneida Indians, Aaron Baxter, Friday night.
I appreciate it.